This is the Ethanol Report. I'm speaking with Bob Dineen, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association, about a request for a waiver of the renewable fuels standard that is being requested by specifically livestock and poultry organizations in the U.S. in light of the drought situation that we're seeing that's getting rather extreme. Bob, what is basically the RFA's response to this request by the livestock and poultry producers?
Well, first of all, it's really not theirs to request. They're not an obligated party. They're not a governor. And so they really can't ask EPA to waive this program. But the legal niceties aside, if you evaluate the merits of what they're suggesting, it just doesn't make any sense. It would only reward oil companies that have long opposed the RFS. It would have no impact on corn prices. It would result in a dramatic increase in gasoline prices, and I think ultimately hurts the American consumer.
Now, you mentioned the fact that they are not an obligated party, and that was brought out in the press conference. They're neither an obligated party, a governor, or the EPA administrator, Lisa Jackson, herself. They kind of clarified that, saying, well, they're asking Lisa Jackson to ask for the waiver. Is that something they can do?
Not according to the Clean Air Act, which is what they cited in their letter. It has to be an obligated party or a governor. And the EPA has made it very clear who can request a waiver under this program. In the past, when they denied Governor Perry's request for a waiver in 2008. Look, it may very well be that they'll get a governor at some point and request the waiver. So, you know, our focus really has been more on just the merits of what they're asking than the legal niceties. And I do think that on its merits, this waiver request, if it is appropriately filed and accepted by EPA, will be and should be rejected, just as the previous request was.
Now, one of the things that they said specifically was that this is a government mandate, and if we allowed the marketplace to work, that putting a waiver here that would allow the marketplace to work. And now, what is your response to that?
Well, in fact, the marketplace is working. Since this drought began, ethanol producers have reduced their corn consumption by more than 14%. We have responded to the marketplace signal. You know, there's no law that says that the first 5 billion bushels of corn are delivered to the doorsteps of ethanol producers. We compete in this marketplace along with every other consumer of corn, and we are impacted as much as anybody else. And we are the ones that right now are bearing the brunt of these skyrocketing prices. But that's fine. That's as it should be. Look, the best mechanism to ration demand is indeed the marketplace, not the federal government. And you see that happening today.
Now, ethanol production is dropping, as you pointed out. At this point, how does the outlook for ethanol production for the rest of the year, which I believe at this point has dropped below 13 billion gallons, how does that compare with what is required under the current RFS?
Well, the good thing about the RFS is that they anticipated market anomalies like what we're experiencing today. And it provided a great deal of flexibility to the obligated parties such that they'll be able to continue to meet their obligations in the absence of gallons being produced. There is a credit trading program that allows them to build up credits, and they have. There are more than 2.5 billion credits available to them that they could utilize. There's also about 800 million gallons of ethanol in storage today because we're oversupplied in the marketplace. And quite frankly, even if all that's used up, they can roll forward any deficit they have until the market corrects itself. The only beneficiary of waiving the obligation that refiners have would be refiners themselves, because they've long sought to repeal or undermine this program, and the livestock industry is trying to provide that to them in a way that just doesn't make any sense.
Now, we seem to have kind of dueling studies that were released last week. One they've released a study from their economists saying that the damage that's being done to the livestock industry, specifically because of the RFS, while at the same time, you released a study last week from Iowa State University that really shows that that's not much difference, that it wouldn't make, the waiver wouldn't make much that much difference. Can you compare those two studies?
It's hard to compare them because the assumptions that went into the livestock industry's so-called analysis were so flawed. I mean, they assume, for example, that the ethanol market demand is inelastic. Well, you just noted yourself, the ethanol production has been falling. That sort of belies the notion that somehow this is an inelastic demand. We are the most responsive to signals from the marketplace.
The House is expected to consider legislation this week that would extend the 2008 Farm Bill and reinstate some provisions for livestock producers for aid in disasters such as this. Do you believe that would help them more than a waiver of the RFS, or would the waiver of the RFS help them at all in this situation?
No, I think, I mean, the fact of the matter is getting some kind of assistance would be far more important to them than, you know, trying to undermine an important national energy policy that is a proven success and is not going to materially impact the marketplace. I find it somewhat ironic that in the one breath when they're saying, you know, you can't have any government programs like the Renewable Fuel Standard because it interferes in the marketplace, and in the next breath they say, but we want the government's assistance over here to help us. I mean, the hypocrisy deserves a gold medal from the Olympics.
And how would further limiting ethanol production impact livestock producers when it comes to the co-product distillers' grains?
Well, I think I'm confused as to why the livestock folks are so anxious to eliminate ethanol production when they have benefited so directly from the protein feed that our plants are providing them. The industry last year produced the equivalent amount of distillers' grains to feed every head of cattle fed on a feedlot last year. It is significant. If they were to get their wish and ethanol just goes away, then so does that DDG production. So does that high-protein, high-value, low-cost feed alternative. And now they've got to be getting, you know, all their feed from a source that is increasing in price. It doesn't make any sense. It seems to me that they're being penny-wise and pound-foolish on this one.
Now, the National Corn Growers Association, in their statement in reaction to this, made it sound like that they'd rather see them ask for a waiver than to go for this legislatively in Congress to try and change the law itself. Would you agree with that, or do you see that that's where they possibly are going there?
Well, I think that they'll likely go there anyway, but certainly we will vehemently oppose efforts to legislatively challenge the Renewable Fuel Standard, just as we will most certainly oppose waiving this program while the market conditions do not support it. As long as you have 2.5 billion credits available to gasoline refiners and you've got 800 million gallons in excess supply, there is no challenge to the refiners in meeting their obligation. So why waive it? The marketplace is going to be the ultimate decider as to what is waived and what isn't. And obviously you're seeing it today. The marketplace is indeed rationing demand by ethanol producers. That is as it should be.
So in other words, if the industry does not produce enough ethanol this year to meet the RFS, the RINs and what is in stocks should make up for that?
Exactly. And if you'd waive it before the market conditions that were anticipated by the Renewable Fuel Standard are present, then all you're doing is rewarding the oil companies and leaving all those credits overhanging the marketplace. You're leaving that excess fuel supply in the market, and you're interfering in the marketplace in a way that is not at all necessary or helpful to consumers.
All right. Well, we'll see how this plays out and keep an eye on it. Thank you very much, Bob Dineen, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.